You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. Discover your new roads in a Chevrolet this August. Rates as low as 0% for 84 months OAC, only at Lakewood Chev.
What jersey do you think he would wear?
That'd be something old.
Oh, I thought it'd be Cody Franson.
His nephew's jersey. I love it. I got to excuse myself. I'm going to be laughing all the whole interview.
LT, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Every time we do this show, Cody Franson gets brought up earlier and earlier. You know,
I love how Strutt slides in his nephew's jersey.
I want to make a note. I'll be honest with you. I was driving down the road a few minutes ago, and I made a mental note, but I didn't write them down. Now, Strutt, you don't trust your mom or your wife. Who do you trust? Because it sounded like a pretty long list there of people you
really
simply don't trust.
It's a really good question now.
Low tide, I trust you. If I saw you driving across the park, not TSN 1260, I would walk across knowing that you would stop.
Well, but that's
only person I would stop.
Yeah, I'd probably miss you even if I was trying to hit you. So there is that.
Well, you know what? I want to start off. This afternoon was a bit of a luncheon with some big people and me, and we were just talking about some of the rule changes. And we were asked, the panel was asked, what rule would you like to see eliminated from the NHL or adjusted or included, whatever the case may be? I threw out the idea of putting the red line back in. What are your thoughts on that? And was there one that you would take a stab at if you were the man in charge?
Well, I would. There's one thing I would do. I was surprised you didn't go that you didn't want to allow any other forward to beat a defenseman wide anymore. I thought. I like the idea of bringing the red line. What I would really like is if you score on the power play, if it's 5-on-4, 5-on-3, or whatever, until the elapsed time is finished, it's still a power play. The penalty doesn't end. You are paying the full 2-minute price, even if it's 2 goals or 3.
Now there was a time that it happened, right?
Yeah, the Montreal Canadiens of the late 50s were so good at it, they disallowed it.
I would have no problem with that, Al. Yeah. There was an original rule. And basically, they changed the rule because they're like, well, you know what? You're too good offensively. What? Like, yeah. Why are we punishing that? Right? If you take a penalty, you serve the penalty. So, yeah. I know, I'm with you 100%. I would love to see that. I don't think that changed anything. I don't think we're going to see, you know. In fact, we saw fewer penalties last year. So, I think if you look at things, now, maybe refs will go, oh, geez, I don't want to call a penalty. Well, no. First of all, right now, you look at you're about 1 out of 5 power play times on average is when you're seeing a goal, right? And sometimes, Al, that could take a minute 45. You know, it all varies from each power play. So just because you score once doesn't guarantee that you're going to score in the second one. But it does suddenly make the penalties definitely more important, no question about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, as you sit back and look at some of the other rule changes possibility, one that was thrown out there that kind of opened my eyes a little bit was the idea of the where was I going with this? We were talking about one that Barla Gord Miller was the part where, you know, you can play the puck with your hand if it's above your shoulder, but as soon as it gets tipped above the shoulder and goes in or above the crossbar and goes in, then it's deemed illegal. Is that view too much difference? Again, so I can grab my hand if it's up in the air, but I can't tip it with my stick if it's above the crossbar. It's no goal.
Oh, that's a good question. Intuitively, it seems like it's, you know, one legal and one not legal doesn't make a lot of sense. But I'd be interested in knowing their reasoning behind making that rule change.
Well, he said it's just confusing, you know. And I guess, you know, so I guess I'm really asking: would you be okay with players tipping pucks from any level, you know, any height in front of the goaltender?
I guess, yeah. You have to be responsible for your stick. So, you know, I mean, rules always have like weird implications that we don't consider. So, if a bunch of guys are losing teeth, then maybe not so good. But to me, I mean, if it's a goal and it's goal and everybody considers it to be legal and everybody gets the same rules, it would seem to me to be okay. And it is skilled, right? Like, you have to have good hand eye. I could never do it with but the puck would be back on the ice by the time I swung at the thing. But you know, these guys are really good, so I think there's a skill involved. So you're probably rewarding it is okay, as long as there's not an increased danger of injury.
We're joined by Alan Mitchell from Lowdown Low Tide. You can hear him every day from 10 till 2. I want to change gears a little bit and get up to the CFL. Last night, you know, a game that, you know, when you read some of the comments leading up to it by Mike Riley, he said, you know, we've won three in a row, but we're not playing the way we should be. Did that just play out last night, or was there something else you saw with the Eskimos lost to a team that they probably should beat in the BC Lions?
Well, I think there's a few things with the Eskimos. They're, you know, they're getting healthy again, so they're not where they, you know, as far as their total roster is concerned, they're not where they want to be, and that's fine. But they're not disciplined. They take too many penalties, and they are. I felt like one of the reasons they won the Saskatchewan game was their receivers were getting, they were winning battles and just had a spectacular game. And that's great, but you can't count on that all the time. And they were in that game. They could have won it or at least tied it late. And then a little bit of a miscommunication between the quarterback and the receiver. But the Eskimos against a team like BC should never be in that position. They have two things that have been a problem all year. Discipline as far as penalties are concerned. And then the other thing is usually early, but last night I felt in the third quarter, it's almost like they're not as sharp for a 15-minute period, and then they correct back. And I maybe that's discipline too, I don't know. But those are two things that I've noticed.
Al Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide, joins us. Dylan Larkin signs a deal today worth $6.1 million per season as a contract extension. You know what, 63 points last year. What do you make of Dylan Larkin? You know, he's definitely at this stage of his career more of a playmaker for sure than a goal scorer, having 17 and 16 goals the last 2 years. And really in three seasons, he's had 56 goals in 242 games. So, you know, you look at it, he's basically an 18-goal scorer thus far through his career. What do you make of Larkin?
Well, I like him as a player. I don't think that's a contract that makes it difficult to like him as much as you liked him before, because when you're spending big money on a player like that, and that is big money, I think you want to have a little more of an offensive player, a little more of a goal scorer, as you say, somebody who maybe makes a difference offensively more. 60 points is nothing to sneeze at. That's real value in the NHL. But that's a lot of money and a lot of term, and they've done it a lot in Detroit. Many times they've done this with players, maybe not quite at the level of Larkin, but they've done that. And it's a lot of money for you know, let's take Leon Draisaitl as an example. I think he's a more substantial offensive player and will be for the next 8 years. I'd rather sign the Leon contract than the Larkin contract, because I think Leon will be able to provide more offense, and that's what you're really paying for with that big money.
Well, you know, I agree with you, Lotai, but I guess, you know, how do we as members of the media or fans or even member clubs, how do we keep readjusting what that level is? Because I remember when Nugent Hopkins signed the $6 million deal, I'm like, oh my God, this is outrageous. But as you kind of go forward, that deal doesn't quite look as bad. So do we have to readjust what, you know, that number is for the player you're talking about than this number for this player, because the cap does seem to go up and those they're inflating the salaries?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that you have to count how many free agent years they bought for Larkin or Nuge, because that does make a big difference about the, you know, as far as the number of seasons of clear free agency that you're buying. The other factor in there is that you know, this is going to cost somebody, and I think it's going to be the 30-plus crowd in the NHL. Strutty, I know you played late into your 30s, yeah, and you were paid big money, but I don't think the 30-plus-year-olds are going to be paid as much anymore. In fact, I think we might see an adjustment where some of the guys who are, you know, maybe 31, 32 and fringe players, they might not get an offer much more than $1 million, because the big money is going to go to players who are maybe 23, 24 getting signed long-term. Because NHL teams want the heart of their career, much like what Edmonton did with McDavid and Leon Draisaitl.
Today at the luncheon I was at, Dr. Renee Faslow came on after my group, which is a pretty hard act to follow, but he did his best. And, you know, he was asked a question by Gord Miller about this idea of, you know, not to put words in Gord's mouth, but basically, you know, is it, how does NHL justify sending their players there? When you look at Perrion Axelsson, who broke his arm, you know, a number of years ago, may have cost the Bruins the playoffs. How does NHL justify that? So you're now the leader of the WIHF, and you're trying to work with Gary Bettman. How do you convince him that it's worth it to shut down your league for 2 weeks and send your players to the other side of the world, to China?
I'm all in on this. I agree totally. I think the Olympics is not a non-profit organization, right? Like there's money made. And the other side of this is that the National Hockey League, the New York Islanders lost John Tavares, and he's a free agent. He's gone now to Toronto. That might have been their best chance to win a Stanley. They lose him. That's a major impact on a franchise and on an ownership group, and they don't have the success, and maybe they have to move. These are big things that NHL owners are having to deal with, and they're paying a lot of money for the good health, the 82 games plus playoffs of these players every year. I'm with the owners on this. I don't know how, maybe there's an amount of money that the NHLPA and the NHL owners can agree upon to lend their players for 2 months, but I think they have to be compensated.
Yeah, it's really amazing because, you know, Gord followed up. He's like, has anyone ever seen the golden goal Sidney Crosby scored on the nice screen there in Pittsburgh? No one's ever seen it. Yeah. So if you didn't see it live, where are you supposed to see that goal? And that's, you're trying to build your game. Well, I can't show my own captain, who's been with me for, 13 seasons? One of the biggest goals he scored in his life, we can't score on the screen. So I was with Fazzle on that one, or on Gord Miller with that one, I should say.
Yeah, I don't know the answer. I honestly don't. But I know when I saw Tavares go down for the Islanders, and that's like you're building to a peak and a pinnacle. And if that happened, like God forbid, with an Oiler impact player, this town would go nuts. So I hear that. You every time you step on the ice, you're maybe giving yourself a chance to become injured for a longer period. And the Olympics, it's not like they don't hit there, and you can get hurt even if there's not a lot of contact going on. So I understand the owners of the National Hockey League. I do understand their point of view.
Al, quickly, your thoughts on the Eskimos last night?
I was disappointed. I felt like this was a win that they could get. And maybe Calgary stumbles sometime during August, and you go into the Labor Day weekend classic, and maybe the Eskimos are behind by only a game. They win that one. They come back here on the second half of the back-to-back after Labor Day, and that game is for first place. I know it looks ridiculous now, but it was at least mathematically available. They stubbed their toe. It's not the end of the world, but I do think that the penalties are an issue. I think they're getting healthier. I think the offensive line is looking better. There's lots of good news. That was a stumble and an unfortunate one because it's an opportunity missed.
Al, I agree with you, man. It wasn't a good game, especially in the second half by the Edmonton Eskimos. Have a great weekend. We will talk to you next week.
Thanks. I want that horn to go off at the end of every interview I do with you, Jason.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. We should get a horn in studio.